It's great to be here. I enjoy it every single time. Well, good morning and welcome again to CCC. It's a pleasure and honor to share with you this morning. We're fully into the sermon this week. After a few weeks of setup, Bob started our series last week with a great message on the path. We're taking a deep dive into the Sermon on the Mount, and as we do here at CCC, we're going to be here a while. You know, I remember when Jennifer and I first started coming to CCC in early 2009, the adult Bible class was going through a study called The Harmony of the Gospels. We were comparing all four Gospels to each other. We were in that study for so long, I thought that that was the only thing that the adult class did. I'm not talking about weeks or months long. This thing was years. I don't think that this series is going to take years, but we're going to take our time, and that's okay, because the Sermon on the Mount is an important message to us as followers of Jesus. This message guides us, it instructs us, and as we'll see today, it challenges us as sons and daughters of God to rise up and to follow Him. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word. We are in awe of your power and the way that you have ensured that your word still reaches us today, millennia after it was given to your people. This morning, Lord, as we are in your presence, I ask that you bless and encourage us. I ask that your message be heard and that our eyes be open to the path that you would have us follow and that you would light the way ahead. Father, give us wisdom to understand the plan that you have and the boldness to follow it. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to take a look at our scripture this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start out on verse 13. This is from the NIV. You are salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Most of you know that I've been in the restaurant business most of my life. That being said, I'm no chef. My culinary training has mostly been in big corporate companies that don't do a lot of high-level gourmet dishes, unless you consider a belt buster a gourmet dish. But in my time in and around the business, there's one constant fact. Salt is at the core of most recipes. If there are those among us that are on a low-sodium diet, for one reason or another, I'm sure that you could tell us the difficulties of trying to avoid salt in our society. Many years ago, Jennifer and I would watch the famous New Orleans chef, Emeril Lagasse. He'd put on a pot of water and say, I don't know where you get your water, but where I get mine, it doesn't come seasoned. And he would add salt to the water. He'd say the same thing for flour or breadcrumbs and really most other items. The point is that salt is used to flavor even the most basic ingredients. But salt has several different uses other than just flavor. Did you know that salt is an ingredient in fertilizer? I didn't. I don't have a green thumb. I had no idea. But in the study, I learned that a common soil deficiency is potassium, and farmers will add salt-containing fertilizers to make up for this. And they call this type of salt and fertilizer, it's called potash, and it's found in what are now deeply buried ancient mineral deposits. I think that we, as Christ followers, are like potash. We know that our world has fallen, that there are many out there that have an essential deficiency. They lack the most important part of life, a relationship with Jesus. And here we are, we have that element. When you put us in a soil of work, of school, of community, we're able to share our knowledge and the relationship with the Lord, with others around us. We're able to help them find what they are missing and help them grow. I think that in many ways, CCC is like a greenhouse. We're a nursery. We care for and nurture our young plants, allowing them to grow up healthy. We also take in some damaged older plants and give them new life and hope in the healing power of the Lord. We have some new sprouted plants, and we have some that have deep roots. But by being the salt of the earth, we continue to provide the needed elements for growth. Another common use for salt in both ancient times as well as modern times is using salt as a preservative or a protector. I'd heard of salt curing before, but again, I'm no chef, so I never dug into how and why it works. I learned that when you apply salt to the outside of meat, It prevents the growth of certain bacteria, therefore keeping it safe to eat. I've talked here before about how easily my faith walk can be swayed based on what I surround myself with. If I'm surrounded by negative talk radio, negative people and attitudes, I start to find myself being more negative. But when I surround myself with the Lord, his people, his words, his music, I find it more natural to resist the temptations of the world and keep my eyes on him. Again, I see the parallel between what we do here at CCC, both as a family, and how we conduct ourselves at home and at work. Here, we are surrounded by our brothers and sisters. We listen, we encourage, we carry each other's burdens. In these ways, we are preserving and protecting each other. We're preventing the growth of the enemy. Jennifer talks about her days growing up at Westlink Church of Christ, the church that her grandparents started, and being part of the family that was, quote, there every time the doors were open. I can see how that is such a positive way to ensure that you and your loved ones stay surrounded and protected by the Lord. Of course, there are no guarantees that going to church 4 days a week will keep you safe, but I can see the logic. As our family has grown and developed over these past 20 years, I look back and see how my parenting has changed over time. From the new parent that was probably overprotective of my daughters, to the crazy times of having 3 kids in elementary school at once, and now with 2 adult children, my parenting has changed. What is okay to me now is very different than what was okay to me 15 or 20 years ago. Lauren likes to tease her brother and sister that she had to crawl through and forge the way as the oldest child. She had to deal with all the rules and the restrictions as a kid so that Lucas can have the freedom to do more. And while I don't acknowledge that to her, there's some truth in that statement. The types of things that I allow Lucas to do are very different than what I allowed Lauren to do at that time. In some ways, I've changed the protection that I surround Lucas with. This is something we're going to talk about later, Lucas. Nonetheless, as salt, we can make sure that we are protecting and preserving those we are called to serve. This part in the verse about salt losing its flavor was interesting to study. I learned that it's impossible for salt in its purest form to actually lose taste. Once it is salt, it is always salt. But if you look back at salt in biblical times, it was a very valuable commodity. In fact, the word salary, like your monthly salary, is derived from the word salt. One thing we know about our fallen human nature, if something is valuable, it is oftentimes exploited. In its natural state, sometimes salt was mixed with other elements. But sometimes, unscrupulous people would add stuff to the salt to make it seem like there was more there than there really was. In either case, the true salt was subject to the moisture of rain and weather. And if the salt got moist, it would dissolve, and what was left behind would no longer be of any value. This was such a common occurrence that the people of the day found that if you took what was left after the salt was gone and threw it out on the street, and made for a good material to be walked on by humans and horses. The statement, if the salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot, was a saying that the people of the day would have been very familiar with. Of course, for me, living over 2,000 years later, I can see how my level of saltiness ebbs and flows. We are called to be the salt of the earth. No one understands that we play a vital role in growing, preserving, and protecting not only ourselves, but those around us. The world is full of those that need to have some help getting rid of the bad stuff and spending time being healthy. Let us make sure that we are a positive element in his kingdom, that we are giving to others and helping to make the fields a healthy and fertile field for our Lord's harvest. The next part of our verse today has to do with light. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This verse is perhaps as well known as the salt of the earth. It is easy to see how we might be the light of the world. There are so many references to Jesus as a light. Most of us probably grew up singing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." But there are a few different ways that I saw to apply this concept of how we take this verse and put it into action. I don't think that young people of this generation really appreciate how powerful darkness was in the past. With cell phones and tablets and smart lights and motion detection, it seems that our houses are never really dark. Heck, I don't even have to get out of the bed to turn off the lights anymore. Did you know that too much light is now an issue for some people? In our family, Elaine was recently struggling with falling and staying asleep at night. She went to her doctor. One of the recommendations from her doctor was to limit screen time before bed. Of course, I think the real issue for her is that she works at a coffee shop and she drinks too much caffeine. Nonetheless, it seems that a light source is always quick at hand. But I remember a time when dark meant dark. Like, can't see your hand in front of your face dark. A time when you had to make sure that you had candles ready when a storm was coming. When your emergency flashlight never had batteries. In those days, making sure that you had a light was important. For our older generations, or those that grew up not in the city, light had even more importance. When you have a dark room or a dark house, a single light can make all the difference. In a moment, we're going to have a power outage. But don't worry, don't panic, I have a light. Spoopy. In a dark place, a single light can have a huge impact. These days, our cell phone has become the single light source that fits all situations. No need to find your key. Need to find your keys under the couch? Cell phone light. Need to see a keyhole at the door? Cell phone. In this dark room, a single cell phone can make a big difference. That is no different than the light of our faith. In a dark place, either at home, at school, at work, in our social circles, when the light of Jesus is completely absent, you, a single source of his life, can make a huge difference. This light can not only help you guide, can help guide you, but those around you to safety. It can point out the places that you may stumble. It can keep you from walking off a ledge. But have you ever noticed that a cell phone light isn't as bright as it seems when you use a flashlight? Most of the time, I feel like I'm a cell phone. It looks bright when it's right in my eyes, like a camera flash. But when I really try and use it in the dark, it's, well, not quite enough. But I know that if I spend time in the Word, if I listen to the Lord, and I take his prompting and be a follower, that my light will grow. I'll be able to see a little farther ahead on the path. It'll be easier for more people to see. But this takes time. And I know that just like we talked about with salt, if I surround myself with the right influences, my light can and will dim. It won't go out, but it sure won't be as powerful as it could be. Okay, Jeanette. My next point this morning is this, the power of a focused light. There's another interesting way that I find myself using light. Many of you may or may not know that I'm not the most organized person at home. I pretty much drive Jennifer crazy. I have a tendency to misplace things. Stuff like wallets, keys, headphones. Pretty much if it's small enough to fit in my pocket, I'll lose it. This condition has gotten so bad that Jennifer, 1 year a while back, got me a set of key finders. There are these little things that look like car alarm fobs. You put them on your key ring. When you lose your keys, you punch the button on the base and the fob would make noise. That's a great gift for somebody like me. Of course, I never used them. I don't think I ever even opened the box. Something that Jennifer, for years, reminded me of every time I lost my keys. See, I would pretend like I wasn't looking for my keys because I knew if she knew I was, she'd say, "You know, I bought you those key finders. If you just put them on your keys, you wouldn't lose them." I love her, but I hate it when she's right. Back to the flashlight. When I'm looking for something, I started using the flashlight, even in a brightly lit room.
See, the extra brightness that the light gives off forces my eyes to focus on the center and not get distracted by the surrounding things. If I'm looking for my wallet and I'm tracing the light beam across my nightstand and beside it and under it and behind it, I don't see anything other than what is in the center of the beam. It helps me focus and find what I am looking for. Let's face it, I can't think of a time in history that has had more stuff that we can be distracted by. I often sit on the couch with the television on, my laptop open, my cell phone in my hand. There are three different things for me to focus on. Don't get me started on channel surfing the television, the multiple browser windows on my laptop, and the 17 different apps that I'm getting alerts on my phone. It's a noisy world out there. How do we focus? Well, there is one light that is brighter than them all, Jesus. When we allow the light of the Lord to shine on our lives, on our situations, on our problems, we can focus and see the path. I don't have the slide from Bob's presentation, but I found one that fits our culinary theme today. When we come to that fork in the road, the one where we need to choose a path, that light, both ours and his, will help us find the way in the darkness. We started today by reading Psalm 1 from the Message. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. You're not at all like the wicked, who are mere wind-blown dust, without defense in court, unfit company for innocent people. God charts the road you take. The road they take is Skid Row. God charts the road you take. I love reading from the Message. Here's our selection from today in the Message. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God. This generous Father in heaven. We're getting ready to sing our last song of the morning today, and then I'm going to have one more thought for us to share.